Okay, everybody say, let's learn. Let's learn. Okay, we're coming to the Shem, to the end of the Sefer. We're going to try to have a little get together on Tuesday night, March 6th. We'll fill you in more on that. It's just to be machazek the Indian of continuing to learn the Tzaddik's Svarim. And of course, the Ikkar is what the Rebbe is requesting here, and what we're learning, which is on page 49. That's what we were up to on page 49. These are really notes, short points that the Rebbe wrote down after he completed the Sefer. As you see, it's a Seder of Hadrocha and Klolim, reviewing and strengthening certain points that he made in the Sefer. So it's not really the goof, it's not really the body of the Sefer itself, but you see what the Rebbe reminds us of on an ice base on top. We saw that. Let's just review on page 49. That Havizar b'chol shenirshim b'kuntras hazev, adovish shekarasat tavad b'chol ayayim. The Ikkar is, what the Rebbe is saying, is that it's not enough to have learned the Sefer, but one has to actually experiment. One has to try to apply the concepts, and there are quite a few of them, to apply the concepts that we learned together in this kuntras. It says each day one should try something, or shnayim, or shloshi yomim, to go and to try 2 or 3 days, l'kvaya b'nafshecha shechein tia kulcha, to try to transform yourself, to make yourself into such a person gradually who's able to live in accordance to what we learned here. Avim le'ola b'yodcha b'pam ha'achas al yipol libcha. And if it doesn't work, if you see that it's not going, al yipol libcha, don't let your heart fall, don't despair. Ki lo alecha hamalacha ligmor b'pamachas, because Hashem doesn't expect you to complete this, to be able to do all of this in one time, but to try and to keep on trying. Gimel, k'shayaza Hashem lecha v'yal lecha zmanim k'doyishim shel esrakshus. The Baruch Shalom will help you, and you'll experience certain holy moments in life, great moments of esrakshus, when there is an intense feeling, when you do feel a connection to Hashem, even an excitement, an istapchus hanefesh, an outpouring of the soul. And during those moments, you're so filled with this intense feeling that there are certain words that escape your mouth. Now, we know of that type of a feeling when it comes to negative things, right? Where a person is filled with anger, and then he says things that he said, I didn't mean to say that. What is it like when a person is so filled with the Ahavas Hashem, he's so filled with a feeling of closeness to Hashem, that he can't hold himself back from saying, some of those feelings? Some examples that the Rebbe gave of this all the way at the beginning of the Sefer. Well, that was the spoken language there, of course, was Yiddish. Or other words that come out from your mouth. So he says, Tarech v'soiker, I saw. That these words should be precious in your eyes. These words that a Jew says when he feels suddenly this intense feeling of connection to Hashem, these words should be precious in a Jew's eyes. B'chol pam shetirtz lo eris atzmecha mitar demozcha tedabris adiburim ha'ela. So even though these are not words that are actually from the Siddur, these are not words that are found in any Siddur, and it's your own personal expression of longing, of a connection. So the Rebbe says that, you know, very often these kind of words can be more valuable to you in many ways than the words that we've become used to in davening. The Tzaddikim said a mashal, they said from his Vitcher Magid, that, you know, when it comes, Rabbi Nachman said it, that the tefillos of every day, the davening that we're so used to of every day over the years, Baruch Shema, Ashi, and Yishtabach, those words, so the Tzaddikim said it's like a well-traveled road. So the problem is that when you're going on a main highway, in the old days, when you're going on a main road, so all the listim, all the ganovim, the burglars, the highwaymen, the robbers, They knew that this is a place. This is a place where we're going to get somebody. This is the place where he goes every day. So Rabbi Nachman said that if you want to be able to bypass the ganavim, the listim, the murderers, so he said you have to begin to learn how to go down some side roads. You have to learn a little bit your way around. So Rabbi Nachman said the tefillos of every day is davening. He says that's a main road, and all the Yetzaharas and all the narishkeit are waiting for you. You know, like you have a certain place when you get to this halalukah, then there's that certain narishkeit. You get to this place, there's another narishkeit because they're waiting for you, because here he comes. This is part of his routine. Anything that has fallen into routine is in danger of becoming fossilized, in danger of dying, in danger of getting killed. So therefore the tzaddikim said in Eitzah Taiva, a very valuable Eitzah is to find different ways, to find some new roads of your own, to take some different roads. And those different roads consist of tefillahs that you yourself have to say, of tefillahs that are not found in any siddur. It's like Rabbi Nachman himself used to say all the time, and I've spoken about it before in shul, that there's a very big inyan. Rabbi Nachman has a number of Torahs on this subject. There's a very big inyan to transform, to change your Torah into tefillah. What does that mean, to change Torah into tefillah? That means after you learn something, like we're going to learn a few more in the Kudus today. After you learn something, to take that Torah that you learn and to daven with that Torah. In other words, even in halacha, let's say a person is learning, so we're learning the inyan of Hashavas Aveda. The last few weeks we're learning in halacha, during the week we're learning the inyan of returning lost objects, Hashavas Aveda. So Hashavas Aveda, Baruch Shalom, you know that the greatest lost object in the world is my neshama, right? I'm so unbelievably lost. You also have a mitzvah, Baruch Shalom, of Hashav Tashivim, Mipsarchal Tesalim, isn't every Jew your flesh and blood? So how is it possible, Baruch Shalom, that I've been missing so many years and you don't go looking for me? How is it that you don't take me back? I'm a lost object. I'm mamish lost. If a person takes any Torah that he learns and he changes it into tefillah and he davens for that, then those tefillahs are those side roads, those streets that there's no one waiting there to steal those tefillahs from you. It's something unusual. So therefore, the Pious Essener says here that one should know that those good words that a Jew says, everybody knows how to krechs and say shvetzani yid, oi, the krechs. Like, you know, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein used to say, it's Yadur, that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein used to say that those krechses are what destroyed the new generation of Jews in America. Because all the kids ever heard with the old timers saying, oi, oi, schwer zu sein hier. So if you hear over and over, oi, it's bad, it's hard, it's tough. So, you know, he scares the kids away. What do I want to get into this? It sounds crazy. But when a person says, diburim toivim, good words, words of encouragement, the words of ischaskis, and words of hisragshus, of emotion, so the tzaddik says that this is something that you should try to hold on, because you're going to be able to use these words and review them to wake you up. That's what he says. Dik is not davki. It doesn't. You know, that's a little bit of a. I'm not shmakaleni. You know, is a way, and we were given room to infuse shmakaleni with expressions of personal need and so on. That's not the only thing the rabbis, the tzaddikim were not, I want you to know that in general, the Hasidic rabbis were not big on the Shmak Aleinu business. They felt that the Iker is on your own time, like not Shmak Aleinu to throw in for 3 seconds, and this is something, and help me with this inyan. But to be able to be kaveya, to take time, and to be able to pour one's heart out outside of the regular framework of Shemoneh Esrei. There are halachic issues in Shmak Aleinu that one has to be careful of. And in addition to that, that could also become part of your routine. That also could become part of the routine. So a person has to find ways of connecting to Hashem outside of the mezgeres, the framework of tefillah, of Shemoneh Esrei. And you know, it's the same thing with your children. There are certain times when everybody sits and talks to the children. A little bit, like, you know, by the Shabbos meal, so we schmooze, everybody's talking. So from that, the child and the parent don't necessarily form a very, very deep bond. It's absolutely essential. But it could be the 3 minutes time with the child outside of the regular zman. The child feels, oh, and you feel, oh, there's something special. It's the same thing. The time that you're davening is time that the parent, okay, we have a schedule, here I am, I'm reporting on time. Shmak Aleinu, and I'll put in a little bit also here, extra here. But it's still part of the Shabbos table, you understand? But if you pull a child aside, if you pull someone that you love aside, and you look at the person and say, listen, I, you know, let's talk for a few minutes, that's already chashuv, it's on your own time. you're taking time to speak to me and you have something to say to me, it creates a deeper connection. So that's what the Rebbe says here. Whenever you want to wake yourself up from your sleep, these are your personal tefillas, your words, and this is a very strong way to wake oneself up. Because these words are sparks of your own soul. This is not somebody else's production. As great as the words of the Siddur are, they were arranged by David HaMelech, by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. They're somebody else's words. Even though we understand that David HaMelech's words are our words, but Be'emetson, they're somebody else's words, Sof Chosof. Whereas the words that you yourself express, those are your own words. Those are your own words. It's a little piece of Ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, it's a nitzitz, it's a spark of your own soul. Mimena nechtzu. They were hewn. They were created out of your own soul. Obitsures el nizriku, and they were formed. They were put into the mold that you made for them. Dalit b'tfilascha. Again, these are short ha'aris. Not like the rest of the sefer where there were longer mahalchim, longer hamsheichim. These are short points to sort of put everything together and to make a chesima, to seal everything in, to keep everything inside of us. B'tfilascha, when you're davening. So the Rebbe instructs us, b'tfilascha tamad b'malkim echad. Try to stand in one place. Eitzel hakir, next to the wall, or b'skira seinayim, and close your eyes. B'tispalu b'karl, and daven out loud. Loirak litzayik b'loy shum kavana. I don't mean screaming without any kavana. Like, you know, you have people, they're screamers, they're shriers. I'm not talking about screaming without thinking, without feeling. Rak b'kavana u'b'sikva, just, I'm talking about with thinking and with hoping. That with the hope that you should awaken your soul. In other words, you don't have to start off. The Rebbe is saying that you could start off screaming without feeling it. You could start off because screaming doesn't mean like a mishigan. I mean but out loud, the tefillah of a kol, that's a way, the kol is ma'ira the kavana. See, a lot of people think that it's very insincere of me. It's very insincere of me. I'm not on the level of kavana, so I'm going to call out, you know. What am I going to call out? I'm not feeling that. And I'm not, a person wants to be honest. Would it make it some sort of a game? But that's such a humandika way of thinking. The truth is, Chazal already said that the kol is more the kavana. That means that when a person davens out loud, so that the gufa, that itself awakens one's soul. It awakens the kavana. How that works, that itself is a very remarkable thing. Years ago, I spoke about tefillah here for a year or two to the women. So I gave a few shiurim just on this inyan of what is the kol? What is that inyan of a voice? Why is it that the voice is able to do that? The voice is that transition point between what's inside and what's outside. What's that? The voice is something between, that stands between what's inside of you and what's outside of you. That's the kol. So there is this koyach that a person's that. When a person raises his voice, that the kol is able to make that chibur, that connection between what's here and what's in the external world, between nefesh, ruach, and neshama. They need of the sound is ruach, and ruach stands between nefesh and neshama. And a person's able through the kol is to be able to mire himself. So it doesn't mean that you have to be sincere when you call out. Calling, screaming out is a way of accomplishing this. This is what the Ramban spoke about in Parashas Bo. The Ramban spoke about that only with chatzifa. It's only when a person screams out with chutzpah. You see, the Yetzirah is chutzpahdik. It's very rare that you'll find someone that's a real, real big sports fan, that his favorite team, and his favorite team's in the playoffs, or let's say it's a Super Bowl, that he sits there in a meditative state. It's very rare. And that he says, no, listen, I'm not entirely sure that my feelings are holding in such a place, and I want to be careful, you know, I don't want to be hypocritical. You find that the guy is like, you know, the guy is, it's with the Meir of the Kavana. And not only that, a good coach of a team knows how to use that, to be Meir of the Kavana, right? To get the guys going. And how cheering, and I once read, it was a stupid thing, I read a book on this Indian, in high school on the koyach, the effect of the fans and the sounds, and this whole thing, the effect that it has on, to rev up the guys, it's unbelievable. It's not stam. Koyel is moira kavana. So the Rebbe says, you can wake yourself up by that. So try to do that. So if you're calling out, then you shouldn't do it stam in an empty way, but it should be with the hope that Rebbe Shalom helped me that through these koyelas, through calling out, that I should be able to wake myself up a little bit. That the soul should come out from its hiding place, to be able to get it out from its place of hiding. Lord says, Lakras Malka Vekaina, to be able to, that the nefesh, the soul, should be able to approach, to move towards her king and to the one who, and her master, her Oymeid Lenegda, that's standing before her, meaning before the soul. To Zoher Ma'oid, be very, very careful. Lekavein Perish Amilas, to try to think of what the words mean. Now listen how he explains this, Perish Amilas. He's talking in davening, the example he rather gives is from Sukkah the Zimra.
It's going on.
I think on the regular tefillas. On the regular tefillas. When it comes to your own tefillas, it's not such an issue. So much, not so much of an issue. But when it comes to the siddur, when you're davening, he says, try to think of the parish amilas. But not like he's going to explain. It doesn't mean like when you're davening that you're a translator. Like some people, that the whole union of davening is the translating. Or they'll just go nowadays that Baruch Hashem, that you have a siddur, you can look straight into the translation. So listen to what he explains. It's not the Perish Amilas, the meaning of the words isn't just the translation. From that you're not marrying yourself necessarily, although it definitely, there's no question that it helps. There's no question that it helps. When you know, a person grows up in America, even when you hear the words, or you say the words, like, happy is the one who dwells in Hashem's house. Say, wow, that's really a religious thing, as opposed to Ashrei Shevesecha, Dulecha Sando. Because, you know, we're not tuned into it. Ashrei Shevesecha, Mazuk, you know, this is what we say. But a person who's fortunate, who's able to sit in Hashem's place, you know, because that's your language of communication, as opposed to davening, as opposed to Lashon HaKodesh, which since the time they were little kids, we associate Lashon HaKodesh with what? With rote. Hebrew is associated with, Don't try to figure this out. Just say it. So we carry that with us very often in life. Just saying it. So the Rebbe says that when you're davening, you should think of Perish Amilas, the meaning of the words. I want to explain that there are different levels of Perish Amilas. What I mean by that, I don't mean just to translate. For that, Baruch Hashem, you have good translations. I don't mean just to translate. He says, Yesh mi shirak metargim lo b'machshav. For instance, he says, there are some people that when they dive inside their minds, they translate. L'moshel, for instance, Hallelu, they think, when they say the word Hallelu in davening, they think to themselves, Shabchu, praise, right? Es Hashem, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Min HaShemayim, who's praising Hashem? So you think, if you know what it means, then you're good, you know what it means, so you think, HaMalachim Min HaShemayim, it says that in English, it means the angels from heaven that they're praising Hashem. B'chulu, and so on. That's one level. The kavanah shall perish amilas zu. The Rebbe says this kavanah of perish amilas, which is about, this sums up most of the modern world, what's going on, and that's good already. No, that's a madrega. She says, zuloi ta'ira oisai mu'uma. This will not awaken you at all. So what's perish amilas? What does it mean? She says, ikar perish amilas tzvichelias. The ikar perish amilas, the real meaning of perish amilas. Of the translation, for instance, when you say these words, Hallelu is Hashem, praise Hashem, right? When you say these words, this is what you should think. For instance, imagine yourself talking to the entire world, because in that capital Tehillim, in the Siddur, it talks about all the things of this world, right? Everything in this world, the heavens, the earth, everything that's in the world, right? That's what it says in the capital. So listen to what Rebbe says, and try this, you'll see. It's a different davening. He says, you should think of yourself as speaking to the entire world, speaking to everything in the world. And you are commanding the world. Lahalus Hashem, to praise Hashem. Hallelu Hashem means that you as a human being, you are screaming to the world and saying to the world, what's the matter with you? What are you sitting there quietly? Don't you know who the Creator is? Hallelu is Hashem. for every single person that you could think of, for every single thing, Halu was Hashem. For every single thing, like, you know, that Maisa from the Balatanya, when he broke the Shtendi, you know what I'm talking about? You remember the Maisa? That they couldn't find the Balatanya. The Balatanya didn't, you know, Mizrucha Magid used to learn with the Tzaddikim, with his Talmidim. And the Balatanya wasn't there. He used to daven very long, the Balatanya. And Mizrucha Magid was sometimes worried that nothing should happen to him, because he was in such an intense dveikus, the Balatanya. So Mizrucha Magid didn't want to start learning without the youngest one, was the Balatanya. He called him Zalmanyu. He was the youngest. So the Mizrucha Magid didn't want to start without the Balatanya. It was already after davening. Everybody ate breakfast. So the Mizrucha Magid said to Rabaron Kaliner, to Rabaron Hagadol, another one of the great Talmidim, he says to go see what's with Zalman, with the Balatanya. So he went to Shul, and Rabaron Hagadol came back a few minutes later, and he says, I'm not interrupting him. The what? He's standing by the shtender, and he's davening by the shtender, and he's still by Shemoneh Esrei, and he's lifting up the shtender and he's pounding on the shtender. I don't want to go there. So Mr. Shemagid says, no, we can't start. So they waited a few more minutes. So Mr. Shemagid told Rabaron, go back. And Rabaron this time took another one of the tzaddikim. He said, I'm not going by myself. He took another one of the tzaddikim. And he went, and he came to the Bis Medrash, and the Balatanya wasn't there, and the shtender was broken into 100 pieces, and the Balatanya wasn't there, and they got frightened, and they went running behind the shul. There was a forest over there, and they heard somebody calling out, "Samaisa Shahaya," and they came there and they saw the Balatanya was carrying a piece of the shtender, and he was walking with it like a staff. And he was screaming out, "V'yeda kol yitzur ki'ata yitzarta." Let everything that was created, let it know that you created it. And he was singing like this. They came back to Mizrucha Magid, and Mizrucha Magid said, "Where is he?" So he said, "They said, listen, we found him with a piece of the shtender." And at that time, he was very, very strong. He was very big. He was very tall. He was very strong. He said, "We found him with a piece of the shtender, like saying, V'yeda kol pul ki'ata palto kol yitzur ki'ata yitzarta." So we. You know, that's what we saw. So Mizrucha Magid said, "You should know that the Tanya is his energy is so strong, not to break a standard, that he's able to take a shtick halts, a piece of wood, that piece of wood should know that there's a God." That's what he was doing. That the Baal Tanya couldn't bear that the world wasn't joining him in his davening. So he was able to take his tefillas and that every tree, every piece of wood, every flower, when the Tanya davens, he says, "Halu is Hashem, what's the matter with you? Halu is Hashem. Wake up. Halu is Hashem." This is how you translate the words. Not stama kol translation. That when you look at the city, you say, it's a machloikis between art school and mitzvah. What does this mean? It's a machloikis, you know? Or you have a person who's on a deeper level, so he starts to think, well, this says, no, it's a tefillah like this, and the Abu Dram says like that, and I saw in another sefer it means like this. Which, by the way, a fantastic sefer came out this week. You got to see it. On the Siddur, to understand, Rav Schwab. You saw this? Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, they came out Artswell with a translation, with a commentary on the Siddur from Rav Schwab. Unbelievable. Something special. Like 600 pages on the Siddur, where Rav Schwab used to give on Sunday morning Shiurim, Iyun Tfila. Used to give Shiurim and Tfila. Something very special. Yeah, it's good to take a look at it. So it just came out this week.
Even if you achieve this level of understanding that in the right way, are you still in danger of what you said earlier about having got that same fit? Let's say we have this, establish it, 7 and 3 years after, change it and try to always...
Yeah, you switch things around and you concentrate this today or this week. I'm going to concentrate more on this capital. You see, the problem is like this. We're very limited. Nowadays, we're very limited. It's hard for us to hold on to something for a long time. Therefore, and to feel excited. Therefore, one of the best eights is that, and I've been doing this already for many years, is that every week, I try to pick a certain part of the Siddur, a paragraph or sometimes just 3 or 4 sentences, that this week, it's like, you know, you see Lahavdil, you have a drive on the road, it says, "Adopt the highway." You ever see that?
Yeah,
sure. It says, "Adopt the highway." Okay. It's Rahmanis now, okay? But I guess somebody has to pay for the road, but they suppose it's easier than adopting a child, I suppose, yeah? So, "Adopt the highway." So, my way of looking at it is I take a certain part of the Siddur, And I say, you know what? This week, I'm taking these four or five lines. I'm going to adopt these four or five lines. What does it mean? It means, first of all, I try Sunday night before I go to bed. I've been doing this for years. I try Sunday night to look into different mafarshim, to begin to in other words, equip myself with what it means on a deeper level, to look into Svar Makadoshim, to take a half hour, 45 minutes to prepare. And then the rest of the week, I'll try to do like whatever, you know, halavai, you should just be able to think of what the words mean. But on that part that I adopted for the week, so that's that. Then I mamish think about these different kavanis and what it could mean and how it could be interpreted into my own life. So you have to go like this. You have to pick and switch and use different aitzes because it's war. It's war. And you have to use good...
Like people, right. Well, like people get new cars.
What's that? I didn't hear.
When they get a new car, people get all excited. It's a new car, right?
Sure.
But over time, as they
use it... It's a big deal. Yeah. That's how it is with everything in life. But we're not... You see, it was like that with... a car is a halbitzer. You have people like that. They're like that with their wives, too. But a person is... What? Depends what year the model is that you get. I suppose. But the ikar is that we're not on a madrega we're able to hold on for too long to the thing with the freshness. It's very hard for us. There should be chai v'kayim. That's a problem, chai v'kayim. You understand that in those two words there's a contradiction. Chai means something is fresh, it's alive, and kayim means what? It's lasting. It's very hard. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. We don't even know what that means. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. That David HaMelech was such a person that everything he did it forever, but it was always new. Chai V'Kayim. Shifti B'Ezer Hashem Kol Yimei. Lach Zez B'Nach. Ulevake Be'echolah. That let me sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life and to visit Hashem. So we know the difference that when you visit, it's something exciting and new. Being your whole life, it's old. David HaMelech was on such a madrega that he was able to sit his entire life with Hashem and to feel what? Levak, I'm just visiting. That chai v'kayim, that alive and forever. That's something which is very difficult. And we have to use eitzes to figure out how to do that. So that's what the Rebbe is saying. He says, you should say to the entire world and you should command the world. Mitzava yisrael ahal Hashem. Hu akoritz michoymer. He says, kevin shi yisrael hu. Now, the world... the world is a physical world, but a Jew, he says, Kevin Shi Yisrael Hu, a Yid, a Jew, he says, Sar Ha'olam Hu. A Jew has to know that he's the what? He's the Sar Ha'olam. What does it mean, Sar Ha'olam? You're not Stam a nobody. Because if you're a nobody, then why? How dare you tell trees and flowers and angels what to do? Who are you? What are you, a knacker? You're nobody. But the Rebbe says, that's not true. Every Jew, he says, is a Sar Ha'olam. He's a master of the entire world. He's the balabas over the whole world. And you have the ability to call out and to command the entire world to turn to Hashem. You have such a koyach. You know, you have a person that when it comes to work, he could have 100 people working under him, and they're standing be'emu ubiyira, that they're master because what? Do this, do that. And he knows how to take 100 people, employees, and he knows how to take them and to control them, and to direct them. But then when it comes to Ruchnius, he's such a lamachal. When it comes to Ruchnius, who am I? Mi anaychi? Who am I? I'm nobody. What do you mean? The same person that stands there at work, and he's a paro in Mitzrayim, right? So whatever he says, everybody has to listen. So when it comes to Tefillah, when it comes to Avodah, then all of a sudden you're a nobody. This is all Yetzahara. When it comes to Averis, I'm a somebody. When it comes to mitzvahs, I'm a nobody. This is all the Yetzirah. So he says, "What? You're the Sar Ha'olam. You're the master of the world. Not just to Malachim, to angels, to the whole world. Min Malachim Maila, from the highest angels, Ad Remes, Ad Ace of Hars, till the lowest crawling creatures and the blaze of grass, Lamelham, and say to them, Halu is Hashem and Hashemayim. Vahalulu Kol Koich Ve'or. All those, the stars, the entire galaxy. V'chein kol kavonis perish hamilas. Rozmi zeh ba'atzma yis'oireh v'yis'lahev. This itself will cause you to be mis'oireh, to be mis'lahev. To be awakened and to be excited. Kol davar tov. Any good thing, I say. Madregu midah tovah shetishma atira be'ezah sefer. You're learning a sefer, and you read about a tzaddik, and you see that the sefer is describing some nice, beautiful midah that the tzaddik had. Some beautiful characteristics, some beautiful thing about the tzaddik. You see this in a sefer. So the Rebbe says, so very often the natural instinct is to say, well, that's, you know, that's him, and this is me. So he says, look, Al tesiayish leimer, you shouldn't be mesiayish, you shouldn't give up top to say, ein ze lefi erchi. This is something that I'll never be able to, it's not shaykh to me. In other words, you have to be careful not to delude yourself either. You have to be careful not to delude yourself. That could be, don't delude yourself, don't fool yourself. But the Rebbe also says, don't be mesiayish. Don't be mesiayish. In other words, many times I've mentioned in shul that Rav Huttner wrote in a letter that he's worried about that many of these stories of tzaddikim do a disservice to the children. Because the little kids, they read a story about the Vilna Gaon that he finished Shas when he was 5, you know, and the kids think, he's Shas, I don't even know what that means. And, you know, and then when he was 9, you know, he went over for the 10th time in Shulchan Aruch when he finished, you know, you have a Chalisa Zadah. So Rav Huttner says that children can become very orphaned, they become discouraged. Or they see these midas of tzaddikim, they know how far they are from the midah. Because it's not, what the Rebbe is saying is that you have to be careful. You don't delude yourself into thinking that it's something which you're holding by now. But on the other hand, he says, don't be messiahish from it. You shouldn't give up hope from it. Why should you give up hope? You know, listen, you can give up hope from having the mind of the Vilna Gaon. I think we all agree that that's not happening. Right? The mind of the Vilna Gaon. And to be able to, you know, certain intellectual accomplishments beside them. But in terms of midas taivas, and in terms of, you know, very often I have found that the stories of simple Jews, and the gvura and the strength of simple Jews, that they can be in certain ways more inspiring. And I've told you, every time I get back from Eretz Yisrael, that the chizik that I get from the taxi drivers is unbelievable. You get some of these guys, that like, you know, these poshut the yidden, these amcha, that their way of seeing things is so pure and so real. And you can get a hit, you can be misayrus from learning from good Jews, from simple people, that you get a misayrus. But he says when he hears something, you see something nice in a sefer, he says, don't be misayish, don't give up hope. Rak adarabba. No. He says, tachma de lov. You should what? You should envy that. Meaning, you should want to come to that. You should hope to come to such a thing. The timer, and you should say to yourself, halai gam hu haye yilad isha kamayni. He was also born of a mother, just like me. He's also a human being. He, that person that's being described in the sefer that had that midah, that had that characteristic, that did that. He's also a human being, of flesh and blood. I'm also a Jew. I also have a neshama. V'mahayah haylech batal kamayini. And then you should say to yourself, and if that tzaddik was described in the sefer, if he would have been a batal like me, if he wouldn't have done anything, he would just like me. Gam kimohay megilov. He also would be sitting here reading about some other tzaddik in a book. He'd also, I mean, he'd be a batal like me. Then he'd be sitting in the same. Would be the same thing. So why can't I become like that? Why can't I? And again, not today, because that's narishkeit. But why can't I work on myself also? Why can't I work on myself? Vafilu im tishma pshat al eza posuk a gemara v'hadova yofa benech. Let's say even you hear in learning, you hear a nice pshat and a posuk, a good vart, or you hear something. Somebody says a good chiddush in the gemara. Nice in learning. Somebody says something good. And it's something which you find to be very beautiful in your eyes. He says, "And titztayer, you should think for a second. V'loma lo yamarti gam ani kamayisai. Why didn't I say that?" Now, he doesn't say to make yourself crazy, but that you know, you're learning a gemara. You hear somebody says something. You say, "That's good. Why didn't I say that? Why wasn't I focused? Why wasn't I concentrating?" Because you know, when you hear a good chiddush, the beauty of a good chiddush is that it's not something which is odd. It's not something which is contrived. The beauty of it is its simplicity. How obvious it is. And then you say, oh, what's the matter with me? Why didn't I think of that? The guy's a straight head. Why didn't I straighten myself out a little bit to be able to understand a Rashi in such a way? He's also a human being. I could have also thought of such a pshat. He says, Ben kach, this type of an envy, this type of a desire, he says, this is good. This is a healthy kind of jealousy. Kim tizka lovi aleha yismach avicha shebeshamayim besogel nishmoscha bekirbecha. Because if you are able to come to that madrega that you read about or that you hear about, then your father will rejoice and Hashem will be filled with nachas. And your own neshama will be filled with joy. Vim lav. And let's say, in the end, you don't come to that madrega. You don't come to that madrega. Gam kein le ovra achem de levatola. Still, that yearning is worthwhile. Even if you don't achieve that you read about from that person. Still, he says that yearning, or that type of holy envy, that's also, it's still a good thing. Vaklal hazetei, that you should know. Shekol ra'ayon verotzen, any good idea, any good rotzen, any good desire. Ben Toivim, Ben Roimi says, Chas v'sholem sha'ayvim b'ish, enim chayzim reikonim. When a person has a rotzen, if it's a good rotzen or chalila, if it's a bad rotzen, even if it doesn't come out, the Rebbe says, you should know it's not stam. It doesn't just come and go. It leaves a certain imprint upon a person. Even if the rotzen wasn't able to be carried out, a good rotzen, a good thing, or God forbid, Baruch Hashem, right, if a person has a bad rotzen that it wasn't carried out, good. But you shouldn't think, he says, that a rotzen, that a will, a desire, is a meaningless thing. Is a meaningless thing. You shouldn't think that. He says, why? He says, because echad le'echad niskabes, these good ritzainis, these desires, these ritzainis, or God forbid if it's bad ritzainis, but ritzainis one after the other, like bricks, they gather together, and it's nikva benefesh, they join together, and it does establish something inside of who you are. To be filled with wonderful good ritzainis, Rabbi Nachman spoke about that all the time, to be filled with good ritzainis, right? He says, "Ubinyan mehem nivne," and a building is ultimately constructed from these. It's not like it seemed to you like, oh, so what? I wanted this, but then nothing ever happened. It doesn't. It's not like that. I wanted this; it didn't happen. But it's a brick. Next time I'll want, and slowly one is able to build up something in his life till finally, it comes to a point where he's able to actually accomplish something. Yesh lefamim shayla biyish mi deror rachmar l'islam. Sometimes there isn't a person that's awakened a very terrible characteristic, some trait, some mida that's really not who he is. It's really much lower than the person that he really is. He's shocked at himself. He's bewildered. How could I have such an anger, such a stupidity? Where did that come from? Where did such a lowness come to me? Because it's not consistent with who I am. How did I scream like a nut like that today? What happened to me? That's not the way I'm not. That's not me. Why did I act that way today? Why was I so nasty? Why was I? I'm not a nasty person. Why was I so cruel today? Where did that lowness come from? He says, "Aval kenal." He says, "You know where it came from." Listen to this. He says, "Ra'yoyne siritzoynes darkas kisaris niklatubay." You know where it came from? It came from a thousand times when you had a little bit of that mida in you, which you do have in you, a little bit of that anger, a little bit of that impatience. And you didn't carry it out, so it didn't come out so much. But like now, here it is. Here's the building. Boom. Right, that's the whole building, the skyscraper. Right? Now you didn't sense, you didn't even feel, it was so subtle. In other words, these imperfections inside of you, or these negative ritzainas, these negative desires inside of you were so subtle that you didn't actually, you weren't cognizant of them, you didn't understand what it was. You weren't thinking of it. It's a subtle little thing that you never fixed. You sort of put, you always put off. You never fixed it. But you know it's there, but you never fixed it. And all of this time, this was thickening and growing inside of you. And you didn't realize it. It's thickening. It's becoming more coarse, and it's getting closer it's getting closer to being materialized in the physical world. Until finally it just all of a sudden it comes out like in a disgusting way, and you can't believe it. I don't know how, that's not me. People are always saying that it's not me. I'm so sorry, I don't know what happened, it's not me. And somebody once said that to the Kotzker, and it's a story that the Kotzker mind, what do you mean it's not you, it's you 100%, it's you. But it's that you that's been accumulating. It might not be the you that is articulated or expressed every moment of your life, but it is you. Like when somebody said to the Kotzker, he says, "Rebbe, I'm having machshava zaris," right? Which in the classical term means I'm having foreign thoughts. So Kotzker says, "They're not foreign, they're yours." it makes it sound like, you know, something else. Like, it's nice. That's you. That's you, buddy. But your thoughts, not so foreign thoughts. Just take this furniture. Right. Take it. So it's somebody else's. No, it's somebody else's. You're the Bala boss. It's you.
Yeah. What Rabbi Esther, when we say it was somebody else?
The Shade, the Esther Malkish sent somebody.
Well, the
Kotzke say that. The Kotzke might not have been so happy with it, but I don't believe that. I believe the Kotzke for sure, all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov agreed on everything. It's just we don't see it right away, right? So what would the Kotzke have said about the Indian of Esther Malkus standing in the shade? I don't want to go out to explain what that means right now, but it says that when Esther Malkus, when she went to Achashverosh, she had to live with Achashverosh. Mm-hmm. So it says, Chazal say that she didn't go herself, she sent in a shade, like an impersonation, some mysterious impersonation of herself. Says in the Chazal says such a thing. So people look at that, so they say, so I also don't do the Aveira, I said it was my shade. You think it was me? It wasn't me, it was my shade. So what does that mean? So the Tzaddikim, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nosson explain that it means that when a person does an Aveira Chalila, if God forbid you're doing an Aveira, you shouldn't identify with the Aveira. What does that mean? It means you shouldn't put yourself into it. That's something else. Putting yourself, not to put yourself into the Aveira means, if you have to do something, you do it that's wrong. If you're going to do it, then do it in a detached way. Don't believe in it. Do it in a detached way. Yeah, it's you, but it's not the panemius of who you are. It's not the essence of who you are. That's for sure not. We were learning that last night in Maral. That Maral says, Kaseida all over. Then anytime a Jew sins, a Jew sinning is something which is out of line, out of character. Any time that a Jew does any aveira, it's out of character, and you should think of that. On the other hand, you should know that there's a problem. You have to be careful, the two extremes. If you say it's bichlal, not me, so then you go like this your whole life, doing aveiras, it's somebody else. Like you have the Satan made me do it. You know, such a thing. In Christianity, I'm not saying this is official dogma of the church, but it's a common lashon by the Hamayinam, the devil made me do it. What do you have, your kash on me? Have a kash on me, and you see when each one of these big politicians, when they're nichshel, not when they're nichshel, when they're caught with their mechshaylus. So when they're caught with their downfall, even if you read the lashonis that they say, the lashonis that they use, and if you hear the lashonis, I don't want to even mention the name of such a manuvel, so I wouldn't say, but the ex president, and all of his lashonis that he uses whenever he's caught in one of his aveiras. If you read his Lashinus, how he detaches himself from the Aveir. It's Pile Ploim, how he detaches himself from the Aveir. They use Lashinus, him and his Rebbetzin, and that whole Chevra, and all these people. You know how they use the Lashinus of how the sources indicate that it's always like something, it's never, I am a Rasha. Never. What I did was a rishis. Never. It's always these contrived lashonis. It's always that there's a shade that did it. Mistakes were made. Even the right wingers for all these. But no, this way, that's right. How much they say that it seems that there was a certain mistake that was made. You think that he's talking about something from ancient history. What do you mean a mistake was made? You are a money-grubbing baltaiva, and you be amazed. You went and you did something. What are you talking about? A mistake was made? It's not a machine, it's a human being. So therefore, there is an extreme where a person detaches himself and he deludes himself his entire life. On the other hand, a Jew has to know that any time that God forbid he does something wrong, that when he looks at it afterwards, he has to know that it can't be God forbid that my entire essence was invested into such a thing. Chas v'shalom. A Jew doesn't invest his essence into it. That's why even though it says that you create a malach when you do an aveir, right? Every time you do an aveir, you create a prosecuting angel. So I already told you it says in the Sfarim, but the malach is always like disabled and he's missing an arm. He limps. Because a Jew never can create a healthy aveir, you know? He doesn't, a malach that a Jew creates with a mitzvah is a healthy malach. But when you create a malach with an aveir, it comes out that you never did the aveir. He says, like they say from the tzaddikim, you never heard a Jew that he said a l'shem yichud before he did an aveir, right? Before he does a mitzvah, he says l'shem yichud. You never heard a Jew do a l'shem yichud before an aveir. Yeah, you know, but he does an aveir, but it's not really l'shem yichud. It's not that he prepares and he makes hachanas. He does an aveir. No, one has to have a cold relationship with an aveir afterwards. Before, when you have a taiva desire to do an aveir, then you have to say it's me. What's the matter with me? You have to be very hard on yourself. You can't say, well, there's this thing
outside there that's... No, then you have to say to yourself, what are you, a Russia? What's the matter with you? Why do you want to do such a disgusting thing? What's wrong with you? What's the matter with me? What's the matter with me? To hold yourself back from the Aveira. But if, God forbid, anyway, it happened, you did the Aveira, so then you have to try on some level to detach yourself. Not to detach yourself from being responsible, God forbid, you'll never do tshuva. But the only way you'll do tshuva is if you don't identify the essence of yourself with that disgusting thing. Because if you do that, then you'll just go the rest of your life. Never changing. You have people that talk their whole lives in shul, they're talking in shul, and they think this is who I am. I'm a talker, I talk in shul, I'm a knacker. Everybody's waiting to hear what's his opinion. Right? So I come to shul, this is what I do. And they begin to identify themselves with that type of aveira. An aveira, it's a horrible thing. How can you talk in shul? But this is who I am. He identifies himself, not to think this way. That's something which is terrible. And it can't be that this is the kind of a person that I am. Stop doing this. That's a healthy attitude. To detach yourself in a way to correct the situation. Not to use it as an excuse, God forbid, to sink into a situation. Many people do that. They'll use that approach to sink.
Talking in shul, I would imagine, I'm sorry to interrupt. But
you're not interrupting.
That is speaking in shul, okay? That's because davening or tefillah does not have... Not important
today. No, never.
Are
you Sheldon? I remember we met years ago. Yeah.
So do I.
Good. So I remember you were a smart guy back then, so you're still smart, Baruch Hashem. Maybe even smarter. You're right, but Sheldon, listen to this. I have one thing to add to that. One thing to add. It's not just that the davening is not chashiv to you. You're not chashiv to you. That's what's more upsetting. If like the tzaddikim say, that if you would see yourself as being a prince, if you would see yourself as being the Rebbeinu Shlom's only son, then your davening would have chashivas. You're right. The davening doesn't have chashivas. Why doesn't the davening have chashivas? You know why? Because over the years, you've grown used to this thought that, you know, I'm not such a chashiv guy. Maybe at work, maybe in this place, that place, but by the Rebbeinu Shlom, you know, I'm not doing so well. So because of that loss of chashivas in one's own eyes, tefillah becomes something that he doesn't relate to. That's why it says in the Sfarim, what do all Ashkenazi Jews call, now even Sfaradim in America call what? Davening. Davening means to daven. I don't know, you can't even, davening means to daven. But davening means to pray. How can we use the word davening? So one of the tzaddikim said, once said, that davening, the word daven comes from the word in Aramaic, da'avun, which means from the fathers, da'avuhun, of the fathers. The tefillah comes to us from the fathers. So this tzaddik felt once said that, you know what, sometimes you shouldn't think of, the problem is that we only daven. Daven means it's from the Zaydis, davun, it's from the ancestors. Avoid shebelev, tefillah, avoid shebelev. That's how a Jew davens. The problem is that there are many reasons why people will talk during davening. But I think that one of the deepest underlying reasons is not, you're right, but the reason for that is because years ago, they lost the sense of a relationship with Hashem. They lost the feeling of chashivas. And even that person who's notorious for talking, if God forbid someone that he loves is in grave danger, and he's pouring his heart out, and people are talking next to him and making stupid cracks, the same cracks that he was making yesterday, he'll look at those people like they're out of their minds, right? He'll look at them like, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that my son is sick? What's wrong with you? Why? Because all of a sudden, when he feels the urgency of the moment, he suddenly remembers that he can talk, he can speak to God. That God is there. Until now, the other guy's son, God forbid, is sick, so he can make cracks. Now it's your son, God forbid. So then all of a sudden, tefillah. Because why? Because my son, Rebbeinu Shlom, is my child. How could you see my child be sick in such a way? So tefillah takes on that urgency. You see, a tzaddik feels that sense of urgency when he davens on a regular Tuesday. On a regular Wednesday, he feels the urgency of tefillah. And he feels that no matter what's happened in my life and I've done wrong, I'm still chashiv to Hashem. It's the same thing with people. You know, if you don't feel that you're chashiv, you stop talking. Isn't it true? Why should I talk to this guy? He doesn't take me seriously. I'd rather talk to someone else. So if you're in shul and you have a choice. If I turn to the side and I talk to Chaim Yankel, he takes me seriously. He laughs when I make a joke, and he frowns if I say something sad. But him, it's a Sofik. I'm not sure he listens to me. So we have a rule. Ein Sofik Maitzi Midei Vada. He for sure listens to me. I don't even know if he pays attention to me. So why should I? So it's a din. I go with the, you know, that's what someone, there's a good friend of mine that I told this to you once and we'll end it, so it's Erev Shabbos, that there's a good friend of mine that we once came together to a chasna, and it was you know, Marina Del Rey, they have a good smorgasbord, Kiyadua. It's a well-known thing. So we came there, and we were a little bit late, and we just came, and neither of us had eaten. It was late, and this is a guy that knows how to. He's good. He knows how to put down a meal. So we're getting there, and we got the kalim, the kalim shayna, we got our kalim, and we're going. And then Masa Sutton right away, Ma'ariv, and like the guy comes up to us, Ma'ariv, you know. So like, I was just about to go for the, you know, and he says Ma'ariv, and like people looking at you, you know, it's one of those things like. So my friend turns to me. This is what he says. He goes like this. He says, "Listen, Moshe." So he says, "Look," he says, "Ma'ariv, if I'm going to have kavana, it's a big suffix. It's a big doubt, it's a big question. That I'm going to enjoy and have kavana, that I'm going to have for this halupcha, for this stuffed cabbage, vadai. I hold ein sofik maitzi midei vada. I'm eating. We'll get a minyan later." So it worked out. You know, there were all the minyanim later. But he said, "I'm not going anywhere." So a person has to have, in Yiddishkeit, we don't have that vados. That's what's missing in our lives. What Rav Kook wrote about, that the light of the ore of vados, of certainty. If a Jew would have that certainty that Hashem's listening, he would talk. Just like when you're certain that someone's listening to a friend, you talk. We're uncertain. We have a very big suffix in this area. And it's not because we don't believe in Hashem. God, we believe in Hashem. But we don't believe in ourselves. Numi Meila. I don't believe in myself. Why would he listen to somebody like me? He listens to that tzaddik, listens to the Adam, this guy, that guy. That's why if you would see, I always say in the shir, if you would see the tzaddik talking about davening, it would upset you. Right? If you would stand there in a bis medrash and there's a big tzaddik and you see he's leaning over the whole time going like we do, right? He's making cracks. You would feel upset. And if you had the courage, you would go to the tzaddik and afterwards you would say to the tzaddik, "Rabbi, I have to say I'm a bit disturbed by the fact I saw you. What are you making jokes and talking during davening?" So and the tzaddik would say to you, "What do you mean? I saw you also do. So you know, you would say, "Yeah, but my davening doesn't count. Yours does." And the tzaddik would tell you, "What's the matter with you? Your davening doesn't count. How else can you make cracks in the middle of davening?" Or the people that they're from, the ones that during davening they talk to somebody in learning. There's also a new talking and learning during davening. When it's not davening, then you don't have to talk and learning. But the second is time to learn, then the, did you see the toisim achloikis alom disha aveira? You understand? It's also, what does that mean? It's the same thing. There are different ways of hiding. That way of hiding in certain ways can be more dangerous. It can be more dangerous because you think it's a tzidkus. It's not a tzidkus to talk over the parasha in the middle of davening. That's what the Baruch Shalom wants. Torah l'chud, tefillah l'chud. There's a time for learning, there's a time for davening. When it's learning, you're supposed to stop every second. Oh, Baruch Shalom, help me. You're supposed to learn and concentrate. And when it's davening, it's not time for learning. It's a dangerous thing. And when the boys in yeshiva grow up seeing some of the rebbeim do it, it's a churban. Because what does davening mean? If they see the rebbeim talking, coming in late, kind of come late to davening, and talking and learning by the davening, so then what are the rebbeim? It's the kids. The kids out. See, the tefillah is not chashiv. This is something that we have to strengthen. Our own chashivas, once we feel that we're chashiv, sar ha'olam, a master of the world, then mimeila will be able to, our tefillahs will be more chashiv, and we'll find ways to strengthen our tefillah. We should be zoichah for it. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everybody.